This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Sorry, I got a little froggy in my throat. Wood fires and everything. It's like, So Monday, oh my gosh, the weekend, insane. And I have this thing, what fresh hell are we going to be waking up to every day? Man, is it fresh? And yeah. It's every day.
And it's hell. I mean, it is the most personal attack to so many people that has happened in this whole course of everything going on that happened over the weekend.
Yeah. Obviously, we're talking about what happened in Minneapolis at the Baptist Church in Minneapolis, actually St. Paul, where the anti-ICE thugs ransacked a church service where they threatened and terrorized parishioners. And of course, the mainstream media isn't covering this. And these are the tactics, and these are basically communist tactics. The first thing that communists do when they come to power or perceive power is they persecute the church. Now they're going in there. And who's leading the charge? None other than disgraced, creepy journalist, air quotes, Don Lemon, who's now backpedaling furiously. I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know. So there's a lot of conversation that I'm seeing, Hunter, and I know you and I talked about this before we came on. Something better happen, DOJ, Pam Bondi. There better be charges. I'm seeing things about as far as KKK laws and all kinds of different things that can be charged. This is becoming to a point, it really feels like it is at a tipping point where if nothing is done, again, it's like that graph. Woke up, Democrats did something stupid. Strongly worded tweets and emails, people shaking their fists and going, that's terrible. Rinse, lather, and repeat. Nothing happens. I'm so furious about this. Ugh.
Well, I just sit here and I go, I'm going to refer to him as Don Lemon because that's what he is. And he's a click whore at this point.
Oh, totally.
This whole setup was done so that he could get views on social media. And then set the narrative. I even saw he went on that one ladies that just complete hate filled woman who does nothing but rant and rave on hers to blame this on white supremacy and white people. And I'm just sitting here going, Harmeet Dhillon, I think was on Benny Johnson earlier, said that, they are DOJ is on their way to Minneapolis to start this. And, you know, but there's more hoops they have to jump through than the local level and all these kind of excuses. And I'm going, I think the most poignant point, post I saw on X this morning was if Pam Bondi doesn't do something about this, fire her immediately.
Yeah, and I know I'm kind of wishing that Harmeet Dhillon was the attorney general. I'm so disappointed, disgusted. Pam Bondi, it's like, whatever. Maybe she's going to be on Fox News to talk about it. We do have to mention today is a federal holiday. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which slows things up a little bit. So a little bit of, okay, we'll wait. And, you know, but I don't have any patience for this anymore. Because what happens now is you're going to, and this is what Glenn talks about, the Bubba effect, where you've got people who see nothing happens. People go out and start taking the law into their own hands. And you're starting to see this sort of escalating because every day there's something new and it's pushing people more and it's one more affront, one more insult, one more assault. And people are, again, with that meme, and nothing happens and round we go. So faith in institutions is in the toilet. It's cratered. We're in a really, really dangerous, and I'm even just in my social media interactions and chatting with people, you can feel the tension and the temperature is like, it's 211. Well, and that's a dangerous place to be.
Because like I said, this is hitting home to more people than I think a lot of other things. Whether it was, you know, the ICE-involved shooting, you know, in Minneapolis or in Minnesota, the protests that we've seen for the last couple weekends. Those are all things that, you know, you can avoid them. And if they get out of hand, that's where that's happening. That's where the problem lies.
Right.
This was an assault on a church. And obviously... Yep. A premeditated assault because they scoped it out because they knew there was going to be no pushback walking into this church whatsoever.
Apparently no security there, which needs to change right now.
Yeah. So they did their homework. They knew this was a vulnerable occasion. One. Number two, this never would have happened in a synagogue or at a Muslim, you know, gathering, a mosque or anywhere else. This happened at a church because they viewed that as a weakness. They view religion as a weakness. And they came in. They
it's their number one enemy.
Yeah, and they went after it, and now this is those things that, because of the way social media is presented, because it's around this and that, this is something that is going to be replicated across the nation if they don't drop the hammer on it immediately and hold people responsible.
I got to share this tweet from Steve Days. I think this speaks really well to it. Quote, the Minneapolis church storming is at least the 24th red line the left and the spirit of the age have crossed within the last decade to desecrate our social compact, with so far no meaningful consequences other than what the voters themselves produce at the polls. Who knew? Who knows? Maybe by the 666th time, something will be done. Obviously, 666. But that's where we're at. We keep seeing this over and over, and nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Are we supposed to continue to be patient? And then Don Lemon out there saying it's his First Amendment right. Look, and I wish I had a dump button and a pause because I'm so mad.
Yeah.
No, it isn't, you idiot. It isn't. You don't have a right to go into a church. And this is terrorism. What you did is terrorism. And there is that video, and they're talking about them planning it and the fact that he's backpedaling like a little cretin that he is. Something has to be done. There has to be prosecutions. There needs to be perp walks. I want to see him in leg irons and chains and an orange jumpsuit. Maybe make Don Lemon the excuse or the example here, since they won't do it with Walls or Fry, who egged all this on and continue to.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing to me. I'm sitting here going, there's video out there of him in their planning session talking with his producer about make sure we don't say where this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So they were as complicit. They knew well in advance, and that video all shows it. And then during the thing, pointing out that all these poor children being chased out, scared, crying in tears in a church, you know, oh, well, they deserve it. They, you know, protests need to make people uncomfortable. No, they don't. That's not the purpose of a protest. It's not about making someone uncomfortable and scared.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but these people that are out there doing that, that are marching, they are the worst of the worst. And we cannot share a country with these people, period. And they think that they are the righteous do-gooders out there doing. I mean, you watch them marching out, and then when you see the ties of the different people, they're part of this big, it's a very big organization. It is all very well coordinated and planned, and it is also meant to elicit a response. So I saw James Lindsay. I follow James Lindsay out on X, and you know, I don't agree with him. He's really claiming that this is a big psyop, that this is meant to inflame and engage. And I would say, well, yes, all of this is. They are, anarchy seems to be the point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing and pushing and pushing. Hence, let's do this lawfully. Pam Bondi, get in there, get some charges going, make an example out of these people, and charge them every time they are committing crimes.
Well, Matt Walsh pointed out, you know, maybe we need to just raid them and arrest them all at gunpoint the way they did to 9 people that were praying outside an abortion clinic that the Biden DOJ arrested under these charges. And I'm just going, you know, I guess it's a tit for tat. It comes, what goes around comes around, whatever you want to say it. And I think what makes all of this even more personal is speaking with people, deeply religious people who have said, you know, well, I can't support what Trump's doing because he's not religious enough in my eyes. He's not Christian enough. He's mean and his behavior isn't Christian enough. And I sit here and go, but yet you're going to then vote and or support the other side, which actually just wants to dismantle your religion and destroy your religion, because you show me since the first Trump administration, a single Democrat lawmaker that isn't part of the group think that has independent thought on their own, because they don't. They follow the party line. Yep, they do not step out. You can't find me one that's still alive today, because the few that have are the ones that have been assassinated and killed. And you know, I'm just going, it is a cult at this point.
Well, and for your average, we always hear, well, you know, I just vote Democrat because I always have. My dad did, and my mom did back. We voted for Kennedy. And if they're still doing that, they're still affiliated with the Democrat Party, and a lot of them are professing Christians. Well, I'm sorry, but this is what you're supporting. This is what you are, if this is what you're voting for. So either you're woefully ignorant and your head is completely buried in the sand, which, shame on you, you shouldn't be voting, or you're okay with this. I don't know. There's no middle ground. I don't know what other way you go on this. And I'm about damn tired of excuses for these people.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot keep voting this way unless you are either okay. I guess you have to be okay with it. I don't know. Prove me wrong. I don't know if I'm wrong. Tell me.
Well, and like we said, is this behavior will now be replicated unless there is very strict things. And unfortunately, some idiots are going to go and try and replicate this at a church that actually has security. and has people willing to stop them from entering and disrupting a church service, and things are going to get really, really ugly.
And most churches, responsible ones, frankly, do have security. I know that for a fact, and I've been attended churches that haven't, and I feel a lot better. But we are getting to a point now where if you don't, and I don't know if this Minnesota church did or did not, but I bet they will now.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people know nothing is sacred to these people, absolutely nothing. They are bent on destroying, and again, they are communists, and their number one enemy is everything that they are set out to destroy, which is the family, the church. And so if this is not stopped now with some harsh consequences, this will be coming to a town near you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break.
Deep breath.
There's a poll. There's an Oregon poll I want to talk about real quick. So we'll come back and talk about that. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Bi-Mart.
All right, Bi-Mart. We love Bi-Mart. Okay, we took some good cleansing breaths in the break. Serenity now, serenity now. We'll see how long that lasts.
That's right, yeah. We're gonna fire right back up here. Ready?
So I got this poll over the weekend, KVAL.com. Their news poll, and the question is, do you support Oregon sanctuary laws? This has been interesting. I've been following it, obviously. I just refreshed it right now. 72% say no, they don't support Oregon's sanctuary laws. 28% yes. There's 10 days remaining in this. There's about 16,000 votes. I encourage you to go out there and make your opinion known, because looks like, you know, most Oregonians aren't down for this. They're just not.
No, and most Oregonians are level-headed and have the understanding that, you know, we have these laws. They are in place, you know, to quell illegal immigration and to make it, you know, I have not yet met a person that judges someone, an immigrant or someone wanting to come in the right way and do things the right way in this country.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we convolute it with illegals and illegal and this and that. We need to separate it. We need to realize, because most people that have done it legally aren't a fan of the people that have come in here illegally.
Exactly. They're some of the biggest critics of it, because they had to go through, which is definitely arguably an arduous process. But frankly, it shouldn't be easy. U.S. citizenship is something to be cherished and valued.
Mm-hmm.
We cheapen it when we don't. But there's been so much abuse, and as we're seeing what's coming out of Minneapolis and Minnesota again. Minnesota, my God. You know, I got to tell you, I drove through there a couple of years ago on the way to a Thanksgiving thing, and I really swear, and I felt this, and I don't know, but it just felt dark when we crossed the state line. It was like, I can't wait to get out of this state. And we did, but I just, you know, it's dark what's going on there. But most people, most Oregonians, again, 72% to 28%. So go out there and make your voice heard on that. Most people don't support this. Really, they don't.
Well, and then, you know, going to the Minnesota stuff and the Portland stuff and, you know, demonizing your neighbors and people because of, you know, ICE and their support and what's ICE doing. And I'm sitting here going, you know, we can be critical of how they approach things all day long. But the fact is they are doing the things that have been their laws that have been on the books for years. These aren't new things. This isn't some new different tactic. All it is now we have all these crazies that want to go out and interfere with it and put it on blast and this and that. And I'm kind of going, you know, the Obama administration still has deported way more than Trump has in two terms. But yet in the same manner, in the same way. And yet there's no complaints there. So I just sit here and go, the lack of knowledge of these people, it's insane.
Well, the street monsters, the animals that are on the street doing all of this, they don't really care. And they're not in the movement because they're ideologically aligned. A lot of them are criminals. They have criminal records. You saw the one that tried to pull the box out of the car when they got him. He was like, what? I don't remember. A fully affiliated gang member. He's recruited because they know he'll do whatever he's told, and he has no problem. Mayhem, murder, whatever, allegedly. There, I'm throwing that out there. I don't know anything about this guy, but other than that he is a gang member, which tells you that they have no problem with what's going on. So these are not, you can't have a conversation with them on the street corner as they're running down your street trying to light things on fire. Mm-mm. They have to just be squashed and stopped.
Yeah.
You don't reason with the street urchins, the street animals.
Which tells you everything you need to know when our own, you know, Portland police and Minnesota, Minneapolis police, they won't do anything about these people because their orders are We want the chaos. We want these people to run free and destroy things because that helps with our premise. And I'm just kind of going, I am surprised there hasn't been a mass exodus in these blue cities, you know, beyond what we've already seen of police officers saying, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. I think it's sort of like that quiet quitting. I mean, they're just kind of quietly leaving. They're not necessarily announcing their exit like they're at an airport. I don't know how, with morale being so low, and again, if you have a feckless governor or mayor like Walls and Fry, I think you're going to see more. And I mean, and these are guys that want to go home to their families at the end of the day. And you're right. You're right. These are laws that are on the books. They're upholding the laws. You want to change the laws? Go do it. We have a process for that. Mm-hmm. Do it the right way. You don't go in there and sit there and attack and dox and spit on and everything else with these ICE agents. And the other side of it is how simple this would be, because in red states, they're just cooperating. Mm-hmm. You don't hear about any of this going on. Yes, there are in the, you know, most, I think every state has a big blue blob, usually the largest city. You got Portland, you got Seattle, you got Boise, and there's all kinds of stuff going on with the blue-haired nose ring crowd. But again, they're just the street thugs and they don't really know anything. So the time for trying to reason with these people is long gone.
Well, they're not the ones you can reason with. I mean, that's the problem. Like you said, they're paid, they're indoctrinated, they're recruited because of their ignorance and their willingness to just be a part of something bigger than themselves.
And to commit crimes, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Because that's what's happening. These are criminal acts.
Well, I mean, you go back to the BLM riots of 2020, you know, when you had people like AOC saying, well, they're shoplifting because they need to feed their families.
They're
I'm
hungry.
Going, how many Apple Store products or tennis shoes are they eating when those are the stores they're actually emptying out, not their Fred Meyer, their grocery store. Come on.
Right. You want to have a little gravy on the big screen TV you got there. I see. Nobody buys it. Nobody buys it. But too many people are afraid to say anything because, and again, the left has so abused all of these slurs that they think are slurs, they have no teeth anymore. Mm-hmm. So don't be worried about somebody calling you a name.
Yeah. No,
who cares?
It is time to really make our voices heard, doing things the right way. We can't get out of line because that's what they're waiting for. That's why they're holding that phone camera in your face. So that you react, whether it's violently or ignorantly or whatever the scenario, that's what they want from you. You need to be calculated, thoughtful, and really think about how you're going to approach that scenario. It's almost like in 2020 when people would go into a grocery store without a mask on and some crazy person would get up in their face and tell them how they're going to make them sick. If you respond to them with a shove or a push or a middle finger, then they become the victim.
Right.
So let's make sure we don't give them a reason to become the victim. And it all starts with voting in May. Let's do that
one. Voting in May. And real quick, while we have a couple, I was shocked and I've actually been so surprised. There's a number of people that have announced. I think there's 8 or 9 candidates now. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of trolling everybody's threads. And I'm shocked at people saying, why are you running? You're going to split the vote. And I know me and a number of other people are out there. There's a primary in May. You could have 50 candidates. They're not splitting any vote in the primary. Mm-hmm. Whoever shakes out of the primary then becomes the Republican candidate for governor after the May primary. And I was like, this is an education opportunity out there for the ORP, for the county parties. Clearly, there are a lot of people that don't understand how the process works. And it's frustrating to see this. And on a couple of them, the candidates should go in there and correct that. Some of them aren't, which is interesting.
Well, and that to me is the thing. I'm just sitting here going, you know, I wasn't a big fan 4 years ago when we had 19 people running in the Republican primary.
No.
But the media also hyped it up and made a big deal about it. There were 17 running on the Democrat ticket. Bet you didn't know that one because only two were ever talked about. You know, my challenge with the Republican primary is when you have a handful of quality candidates. I think we're right now at maybe two to three.
I would say three. Two right now, really.
Yeah. And when you're 2 to 3 quality and a couple other, you know, also rans, we can live with that because the top two are going to split the majority of the vote, even the top three. When we had last year, I think, you know, or 4 years ago, there was 5 or 6 that had a reasonable expectation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what you ended up with was a whole bunch of around 15% to 20% and 22%, 23% gets you your nominee. And I'm not a big fan of that.
No. And again, with all the limited resources and the limited time for people, they just sort of take up precious time when I really wanted to be hearing from actual viable candidates. And I don't like candidates, again, and I've been on the record many times, don't come from 0 to 60 and expect to run a state. Come on. There's a little bit of hard work that goes into it. Maybe get some experience under your belt. I just, not a fan of that.
And that's the thing. You and I had interactions with a lot of the people that ran 4 years ago. In a handful of them, I sat there and said, I would love to see you on a local board, a local commission, other positions. A couple
City
did.
Council.
Others didn't. Others retired. Others disappeared. Others just kind of fell off the map. But I'm kind of going, there's a place for you if this is where your heart truly lies. And you can tell which ones really have a servant's heart and which ones are just there to get their name out, to gain some popularity, whether it's clicks, whether it's money, whether whatever reason. And I'm kind of going, we need, the smart thing to do is filter this thing down to 2 or 3 good candidates, let them run against each other, get a lot of people out there to vote in May, and let's get the best of the best to run against the Democrat.
Which is the upside of that, because if we get a lot of people voting in May, that means they vote on the Salem City Council races, which are the most important ones in this area.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So maybe we want a lot of candidates that generate some excitement.
Yeah, wouldn't that
There's
be nice?
There's a paradigm shift.
Yeah, let's get some candidates in there to generate excitement. That's what we want. We want the excitement. I want to see us, actually get some decent turnout in May, because we need it. And we need to show that we're here, we're strong, and we're not just a bunch of... do nothing voters.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about something really cool on the other side of the break. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. What is it, the 19th of January? Woo!
Where has the year gone?
I know. Oh, and you heard that voice, so we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears.
He jumps
here a little
in
bit
already.
And talk about something very, very cool. We want to welcome to the show Warren Franklin and Chris Cummings, who are the visionary minds
behind
Enhanced Visitor Experience.
Yeah, it's something.
Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We've been working on this for ever.
But, so talk to us a little bit about what it is for those. It's been a while since we've had you on to talk about
Chris,
it,
Warren,
so let's refresh everybody.
Sure. We have this really cool app that runs on your phone, the Android or the iPhone, and it allows you to go around and visit these locations that have tours. And so you can use your phone to gain additional information on what you are actually walking through. It may be a museum, it could be a city, it could be a wine tour. All these things could be populated into the phone, and then as you're walking about, it actually pops up the information of where you're at and gives you additional information about the things that you're looking around at.
Not only that, but we actually have highway tours. So you can be driving along, and if you're on Highway 84, driving anywhere from Portland all the way to Salt Lake City, or if you're driving Highway 101 along the Oregon coast, or brand new, one of the reasons we're here is to announce a Highway 101 tour from Northern California all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge. So you can drive along there and learn about all the wine country, if you're into wines. Anybody into wines?
Oh, I am.
So you can learn a little bit about all of that wine country. Or if you're going through the big tree country with the redwoods, you can learn a lot about that and all the interesting things that go on there. And I probably have maybe 65 different locations as you're driving along the highway to learn about. Even learn about some of the highways that you might be driving, could drive along, and where they'll take you. We do all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
I got it on my phone, Warren, and I do a lot of driving, I-84 driving, and I've brought it up and used it, and you're right. And it's like, oh, and boop, there it is. And to me, it's kind of like, when you're like at a museum or you're on a trail and there's those plaques that are up there. It's like the high-tech version of the information plaque.
Exactly. Well, it is the high-tech version of exactly that.
It really is. We try to get the information up about 30 miles before you get to a location.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is we want you to be able to say, oh, look, that looks cool. and maybe let's go to that park or let's go here or there. So you can say, let's learn more about it or let's go check that out. And so you're going to get a lot of things before you get there, which is really cool. So you can read about it. There's audio on there. A voice you may have heard before, maybe doing the audio.
I recognize that voice. Yeah.
Lots of that voice.
Lots of that voice. And there's a lot of pictures in there and some interesting information for sure. So we do that, and it's really a cool thing, and it's free. So you don't have to pay for it. You simply download the Enhanced Visitor Experience app, and you're there. It's pretty cool.
I got to say, with the airfare and flying, I don't like flying. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot more people taking road trips. Back when I was a kid, back in the, 70s and stuff, like, road trips were the thing. You went everywhere. And so this adds to it. It's kind of more like I spy with my little eye, but now you can learn some things.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not aware of anybody doing quite what we're doing anywhere in the country. So we're kind of off on our own doing some, I think, some pretty
That's
cool stuff.
That's a good spot to be,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think this is where we actually got noticed by some people, and they called up a magazine and suggested they do something about it, and we received an award for it.
Really? What award?
Well, it's the... it is the Enhanced Visitor Experience App 2026, and it's from, why is my mind always going to look? Travel and Hospitality Tech Outlook, the magazine. They contacted us. We didn't ever reach out to them. They contacted us and said that they had many of their listeners who had apparently come across the app, probably the highway tours, and notified them and said, hey, maybe you ought to do something about this. So... in their magazine for January and February, we're on the front cover. And not only that, they've done a 2-page article about us.
Yep.
And I actually showed it to a lady who has never seen it before. And I don't know her a lot. It's just through some things I do. And she saw it and she just went nuts. She said, this is the most amazing thing I have ever seen. And it is an amazing app. I'm telling you, I have to pinch myself sometimes thinking, Chris and I actually put something like this together. It's pretty cool.
So real quick, because you're right, it is an amazing app. It's very comprehensive, and there's a lot to it, and the fact that it's free, which is amazing. But what was the genesis of this? Who had the idea, and where did this come on? Where did this come from?
Me.
From you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a barber who told me that if we went to Carson City when we were at Lake Tahoe, that we had to go through the cemetery because there was lots of history there.
Yeah.
And so there I am driving through Carson City, and I say to my wife, let's go visit a cemetery.
Awesome.
And so, so excited. But we did spend some time there, and there was tons of history. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be intriguing if you could walk through a cemetery and actually, as you walk through, you could learn about the bodies laying there, a little bit of history. All you really get is, the tombstone, a great mom, or this was a city councilor or something like that. But you don't learn a lot about the – Chris is laughing. But anyway, it got me thinking, and then that's when I went on a search. And that's really where Chris and I got connected, because as I'm looking at all the different kinds of technology and how to make this work – Chris actually helped me find the Bluetooth beacons that we now use for indoor tech. We actually got a patent for that.
Wow.
So we got
about the same time the Bluetooth beacon technology was coming out on the market to where you didn't have to go through the pairing process. Uh-huh. And so now there's supermarkets and everybody else that's actually using the same technology to kind of track your app as you're walking through stores. We're using the same type of technology that we can actually put these beacons out and about. And so if you're in a tight space, like inside of a museum in these tighter quarters, then while you're walking around, your phone senses those beacons throughout and then knows when to pop up the information that you might be curious about. So that's what Warren was like, well, how do we connect the phone with information to the thing that is where we're standing?
When I first saw the beacons and then I took it to Chris, the beacons I saw did not have an identifier, so you couldn't put two beacons in a room together. Right. And it happened. The technology was just shifting at the time to a point where now beacons were having identity, and we were actually almost ahead of the curve in terms of getting a patent on this, putting it together.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. And then that just expanded to more of the what ifs. You know, what happens if we're dealing with like the Powerland Museum or somebody that's actually got property or bigger spaces, fairs and festivals and things like that, to where if you're now outside of, say, maybe a 30, 40 foot boundary between your items, we can actually zero that in with GPS. So as GPS is getting better and better for the phones too, that's becoming more of a narrower space coming from the other direction. The GPS used to be randomly like, oh, you're in the area, used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And now GPS can get you down nearly within 10 feet.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty amazing.
So you can actually use a combination of either a beacon or a GPS to set the system up. And so for larger spaces where we don't want to run around with a bunch of beacons, we could actually use the GPS option.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you're like Palouse Falls or something off of I-84, you don't have a beacon out there,
nope,
but you've got GPS coordinates
correct.
For it.
So we could work with parks. We can do, you know, like state parks if they wanted to be involved.
You know,
there's some Shampooey, for example, has tons of history, you know, and it would be just really fun to put the system into like Shampooey or Fort Stevens, for example. Those are a couple of parks that I think could really benefit from what we have and what we're doing. If you look at historical locations like that, but even Lewis and Clark with their location, or even communities like you take Astoria, that, you know, here we are, a historic town, and you could tell quite a story in Astoria doing the storytelling with this app. It'd really be pretty cool.
You could have a beacon at the Goonies house.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't even need a beacon at the Goonies house.
That's,
the problem with the Goonies house is somebody else has bought it, and they don't exactly like all the people coming by and checking their house
out.
Well,
then maybe they shouldn't have bought the Goonies house.
Right.
But that's kind of the story of the Goonies house, really. You know, it's, oh, there's the Goonies house. Go away. Leave us alone.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
So do you have a lot of, because I mean, you can just kind of see the applications where this would be appropriate, which is really kind of wide open.
Oh, you know
do
what?
Do you have, did that story kind of get other people to go, hey, I kind of want to have that?
Yeah, we're out at Powerland, and I think Powerland's a perfect example of how we really do help an organization. For anybody that knows Powerland Heritage Park out in Brooks, it's got 13 museums, and they're all pretty cool people out there. The problem is that if you go at certain times, there's only maybe one or two museums that are open, and the rest are closed. Mm. And my app actually fills in that gap. You can walk around and learn about those things, and even though there's 13 museums, I probably have about 25 or 30 locations that you can learn about things there and gain information. We're out in Silverton, so if you wanted to take a tour around Silverton, we've got it there, Monmouth. And we're in Baker City doing some stuff out there, too. So Baker City has some really cool historic houses, so that's kind of a cool place, too. So as much as we've been working at it, we still got a long ways to grow, don't we, Chris?
Yep. And you can also use the system inside of a private event or someplace where you want to do a scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah.
So there's scavenger hunt things in there. You can do some trivia type stuff with the app and then put your name in for a drawing. So we have a lot of add-ons. And so the app really caters to a wide variety of people. And we've just got our website updated. So enhancedvisitorexperience.com. is where you can watch a video about it. You can see different things that it can do. And then there as well is a launch point to actually download the app and take a look at the app on your phone.
What about for people that want to get involved, maybe from like a sponsorship point of view? I mean, how do you run it for, is there ads? Talk to us about that.
Well, you can just contact us through the website for one.
Okay.
And we're looking for locations all the time. You know, we're just now really starting to get aggressive in working the highways that we've got in there, talking to the travel centers that are around their visitor centers and hotels and that kind of stuff, and trying to reach out museums that are out there. So I think this next 2026 is going to be a pretty exciting year for all that. But we'd sure like, you know, like I could see a scavenger hunt in downtown Salem. Mm-hmm. We've experimented with Quest for Cash, where you might do something where there's like some cash money that you could win by visiting merchants in the downtown area. So we can do some exciting things like that. If you do, we have a cache system in the app, much like you have with the highway, you know, when you're looking for maps and stuff. So as long as you download the app, you could go into a home show and go around and actually do a scavenger hunt in home shows or those kinds of things too. So there's, I have people who, when they learn about it and they see what it is, they go, my gosh, is there anything this thing doesn't do?
Yeah.
You know?
It's incredible. It really is incredible. I mean, there's opportunities from so many different angles around it. So the story, again, you said it was January, February, so it's kind of out there. I would anticipate you probably get some people interested visiting the website and wanting to know more.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping that happens.
We also have an opportunity inside the app for people to advertise as well.
I wondered about that. Give things
away and just let people know that there's somebody that's actually helping sponsor whatever the event is that you're at. And another one that comes to mind, too, is that some events actually do kind of like a bingo card kind of a format to where you have to walk around and get so many stamps or whatever. So we can set it up so that there's so many available, but you have to have so many to qualify for a prize. And we can do that in the app. Lots of different things.
We could actually set it up so there's clues to a specific location, you know, a secret location kind of thing. So we can mark it in the app that this is the secret location. But because everybody could say there's where the secret location is, we can set it up so you have to visit so many locations, sponsors, before you go to that location. And then we have a random process to pick winners within the system. So it has a randomizer already in it to pick the winners and do all that kind of stuff. So it's all in the app. I mean, it's like I say, it's a pretty cool app.
That's very comprehensive. Well, that's all the time we have with you guys today. But again, I want to encourage people to go enhancedvisitorexperience.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Make sure I got that right. That will be in show notes today when we put it up there. Again, we're talking with Warren Franklin and Chris Cummings, who are the visionary brains behind EVE, Enhanced Visitors Experience. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. You bet.
All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. And again, if you were driving and you were intrigued by that amazing app, enhancedvisitorexperience.com, it's in all the app stores. I downloaded it from like Google Play, I think. Mm-hmm. I do have it on my phone and I have used it because I do a lot of I-84 east-west driving. And it does exactly what they say it does. It's very cool.
Yeah. And that's it's amazing, you know, the perseverance of having an idea and making it reality.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate story of that because, you know, Warren's been involved in radio for, you know, a day or two around here. And, you know, he had a nice career and kind of just dedicating the amount of time and energy to this is an impressive feat.
And I like that, you know, he's a mature gentleman and had this idea later in life, which means, you know, doesn't matter how old you are. And it's sort of like reframing your brain, which is a great book that I'm reading by Scott Adams, by the way, there's a plug. Sort of the new way of looking at things and looking at like, I'm going to have this idea and I'm going to have a system in place to do it. And he really exemplifies that. Okay, so we were talking about really kind of stuff that got us mad. This video hit over the weekend. It is hilarious. I sent it to you and I have it on mine. And it's like, video footage of an awful in the wild, and I said sound down as its ear-splitting calls will scare your pets. Now, for those of you who don't know, the acronym AWFUL is Affluent White Female Urban Liberal. And this woman in Washington State, I believe, is where the video comes from. If you haven't seen it, you need to check it out. She swears in it. She's just this tiny little thing with her little mittens, and it's, you know, it's the F word. So it's basically, it sounds like she's saying
it could be the new state bird. I mean, because the sound
they're gonna make it.
That's what it made me think of. It and what it was is a handful of guys were out duck hunting.
Yeah.
And so she started making these calls
as she's directed, approaching them
but you know, they were directed them, but it was in order to get the ducks to fly away so they couldn't get shot. Well, they pointed out to her that those weren't actual ducks. Those were their decoys.
Decoys.
That she was trying to chase away with her mating call or something. I don't know.
With her little call. And I kept waiting for somebody, and maybe they will animate little wings on her, because it's the funniest thing. And so then she's throwing, and she throws more like a girl than I do, I swear, trying to scare the decoys away, telling them to not shoot. We don't want you shooting around here. Get off. And basically they say that, she says it's public land, and they're like, exactly, you go away. So they completely mocked her and laughed at her, and she's absolutely an utterly ridiculous person. And they're saying that these ducks identify as dead. And then the last scene of the video is them boom and grabbing one. It's a brilliant video. I love it. It made me laugh.
She turned and walked away eventually, still doing her call.
Then they
flip the camera around as a duck is flying, and they take one out mid-flight. So it was a pretty, pretty funny video. Probably worth the watch if you can withstand the language. But at the same time, I didn't really notice it was the language just because of the way it came across as a call.
It's hilarious. And again, it's somewhere up in Washington, and these ridiculous women, and again, they're awfuls, and they're all over the place. You see them at every leftist. They're shrieking and yelling and screaming and, you know, demanding that, you know, shoot me. And a lot of them are of an age where they should know better. I don't know the arrested development on these people. I don't know. But this woman sort of was the poster child for the worst of them, out literally in the middle of nowhere, acting a fool.
Well, we should probably mention one more time, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
It is.
It is a big day. And of course, what gets me is to realize that he was assassinated at 39 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't, he was in the prime of life. And, you know, so to have something like that happen, and unfortunately, the misdirection of this nation right now, because racial tensions are worse than they ever should be after someone like Martin Luther King gave up his life to make things better for all of us.
Well, and of course, the famous quote, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character. And we have moved so far away from that sentiment. It's quite sad.
Yeah, I will say that watching younger kids interact, they live Martin Luther King's dream. And unfortunately, it's the adults now that are the problem. And we need to get back to the things that matter, the content of the hearts, and hug our neighbors.
Amen, amen, amen. Everybody, go out, have a great day. We got another great show for you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.